Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have four rounds of the magazine. Number one. I have been struggling over my speech ever since I bragged about doing ad reads well. Since then,
fumbling
all
cocky.
Over the place. Yeah, mm-hmm. Now it's all in my head, and I think I'm just going to have a speech impediment from here on out, which, in my line of work, not great.
Probably one of the last things you'd want to have.
Yeah, no, I don't want that. All right, round number one. The Marine Corps sent a group of special packages to the wrong address, and the recipient was shocked to find urine. Sounds like a leader at 11th Marine Regiment. Oh, the 11th Marine. I would get roasted for that. The 11th Marine Regiment might be a little pissed off when they realize a full day of worth of piss test is wasted. That's a lot of piss showing up at your house.
It is a lot of urine. Yeah.
A whole regiment of piss. Yes.
My goodness.
Showing up to a stranger's house. So.
And I don't think getting pissed, like you just throw it in the trash can. Like, oh, that's not my piss. I got to throw this piss out. But that means that all those from 11th Marine Regiment have to be back up at like 04, 05 to go pee again.
Oh, no, buddy. They got their piss back. Don't you worry. This story's got it all. And Katie Math was at it in this one.
What? I would think that if it's, see, you lose chain of custody of your piss.
Yeah, you got it. That doesn't count.
That would not count in a court of law. So if you're in 11th Marine Regiment and you were doing a little bit of nose beers, this was the time for you to get away with it. Congratulations.
Yes.
Round number two. On a recent episode, we talked to Congressman Adam Kinzinger about his family. He was beefing with them over politics. They sent him this mean letter saying that he was an embarrassment. He's not. He's a congressman. He's handsome. He's married to a lovely woman. But honey, there's nothing going. Oh, God damn, I can't read. That's got nothing on Hitler's nephew who went and blackmailed him and then joined the U.S. Navy. We got some historical drama. I had never heard that till this weekend.
Me neither.
Yeah, Hitler's nephew. He was a real rapscallion, turns out.
And also, no disrespect to the Navy guys. He's pretty fat. Like for a uniformed person in World War II, he is a chubby bunny. Round number three, spring is fast approaching, and with it, plans for the Air Force's C-130 raid near Salt Lake City.
Whoa, what's the buzz about that?
Well, I'm itching to tell you, and the answer won't bug you if you hate mosquitoes. That's for sure. And finally, round number four, military Snapple cap facts that you can just spout off at the bar. It'll impress folks as much as slapping down a shiny new challenge coin, of which I've never been a fan. I've been given a shit ton of coins over the years. The only ones that I've kept, Kyle Carpenter's, and I think that's it. Just
it's such a shame. I think back on it now when I was getting a bunch over the years, I always thought like, oh, that's nice, but I didn't really make an effort. And now when I see friends that have some sort of display of all the coins, I think to myself, I'd really like if I had something like that.
Yeah, like Congressman Moulton. He's got an awesome one. When we walked in, his entire desk is like covered with them.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yep. And all that is brought to you by our good friends at 3Chi. 3Chi is helping me sleep at night. It's making me just wind down after a stressful day, doing all kinds of moving stuff, getting things ready to go, trying to figure out school. That's one of the biggest pain in the ass, too, because we're moving like 15 miles away. So now I got to drive 15 miles in the morning, 15 miles in the afternoon to go take McCartney to school, put him in the, like, bring him back home. It's going to be a nightmare doing that. But next year, moving schools. I can't be doing that full time. No shot. Yeah. No shot.
But for 1 year, you got it. You got this.
Yeah, as long as I have those gummies from 3Chi, which is a 3Chi Delta 8. It's the federally legal version of THC, and it's a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and a great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety. It's also available at 3Chi.com. That's the number 3CHI.com, and at retailers around the country. You must be 21 to purchase. And remember, it's not CBD. It's psychoactive. It'll give you a buzz. And if you're an active duty member, this is not part of the ad read, but I got to tell you, you will pop on a piss test, even if it goes to somebody's residential house and then moves back like the 11th Marine Regiment did. You cannot rely on those tests if you're taking 3G. You will pop for sure. But if you're not, if you're a veteran or if you're a civilian listening, make sure that you go to 3G.com. You're going to enter the promo code ZBT2021 to receive 5% off your checkout. I haven't seen anyone that has bought this, used the promo code, and has said, you lied about this product. Everybody is usually like, holy shit. Holy shit. It's amazing. Everybody, like all the tweets I get about it. One dude said it changed his life. He said he had it, slept well since Afghanistan. And since he's been on it, he's been able to get off all kinds of sleeping pills, which is fantastic.
Well, yeah, that's definitely fantastic. I will even use it. I'm very reluctant to use things before I go to sleep because I would never want to get reliant on something, but I will take the 3Chi from time to time. And you talk about a good night's sleep. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And you don't toss and turn nearly as much. Right. We can't say that's for sure how it's going to work for you. We're just giving our own personal experiences with 3Chi. Go to 3Chi.com and the promo code ZBT2021. Let's get started with the show.
Okay, yeah. So the driving the 50 miles is ridiculous for any person in the lower grades. But, and I don't know if this is a thing down south, but up here in at least New Jersey, New York area, kids will travel 45 minutes to an hour to go to some schools if they're going to private school up in this area.
Yeah, I've seen that. There's some kid that was talking about going all the way from like Pennsylvania to go to some crazy school in New York City. Like, dude, I don't trust my kids to go to the fucking Wawa up the street by themselves, let alone traveling to New York City every day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like my dad's high school, like people will come from multiple states around because of how strong their football program is, because they know that's the best way. It's one thing to be a really good player in a random town, but you know, if you're going to a good program, well, all the best coaches are going to go there year after year because they know that's where the good players are. So it's a way to get recruited.
So
are you going to say something, Kate?
No, I'm just saying, but Cons is right. People do travel crazy far around here to get to schools and stuff. So you got this.
Yeah. In my high school, it wasn't the sports teams that got people going. It was the band. There were people that moved in from like hours away to go to this band. Cause guess what it was called?
What?
The Show Band of the South was our band's name. You walk into the band hall, there was crazy amounts of trophies and things like that. I was going to play the drums. I came from Jacksonville. I played the snare drum. And then whenever I got there, it was kind of like rookie hazing, I guess. Like I was a PFC for the first time where I was like, well, I play the snare drum. I was the first chair in my middle school, so I'm pretty good. And whenever I got there, they were like, you aren't going to play the snare drum. You got to start off at the bottom. You got to be a tambourine guy.
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
And I was little, because remember, I didn't have my growth spurt until I was in like 11th, maybe 12th grade. I was like 5'1", 5'2". I could not picture myself having any type of respect for anyone marching around in the marching band with a fucking tambourine.
No, yeah. I would have loved to have seen 5'2" chaps. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. That was probably a sight to behold.
Well, but I quit because I got hazed by the actual snare drum people. It was thunderstorming one day. There's a big lightning storm. And in the parking lot, it was one of those parking lots that have the certain areas where it's almost like a little river will form, even if it's a small amount of rain. Well, it was one of those Pensacola torrential downpour days. A big old rush of water was going down, and they're like, you guys all go lay in that stream. And I was like, I'm not going to lay in that stream. How dare you, sir? I laid in the stream. And then when I went home, I was like, I'm not going back to band. I'm not doing that. And I didn't do it. I didn't end up doing band because I'm not going to get treated like that.
No, not for a tambourine.
I might have done it for a snare or bass or maybe even like something else. I might have even done it for cymbals, but a tambourine.
No,
can't for the glockenspiel, certainly, but not for the tambourine.
What if I was the marching band slide whistle guy just at the end? Like,
that might actually be pretty cool.
Yeah.
What are you trying out for? Well, I would like to get a scholarship here at LSU because I am the mean slide whistle guy.
Wow.
Really set it up. All right, let's get going with some actual stories today. Today of which has been very busy for me on a Monday. Went and closed on my brand new house.
Woohoo!
Exciting day. It's really exciting to go through because we went on Friday. They still had all their stuff in. Like, we were getting measurements for all the, like, the floors and everything. They must have really been working their asses off this weekend. They must have really went at it. And going there and just looking around this morning, I was just instantly filled with dread because the last time I moved, I had a griff of Marines to come help me. And they didn't have, it was like a volunteer situation, but it wasn't a volunteer situation.
Right.
Everybody
was
voluntold. Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't have that this time. So it's going to be a lot more, be slower.
I mean, what does a moving company cost in Texas? So the only times I've ever moved, the times I did in the Army, they sent a company and paid for it. And then the times I've moved around Hoboken, it hasn't been that many, but it's been small enough that I was able to do it myself. So I've never needed a full-blown moving company that I've had to actually come out of pocket for. What does that even cost down there?
Well, for like a full house like mine, 3,000 square foot with like a bunch of shit, it's a lot. It's like $9,000.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Oh, and my
that's
gosh. It,
and that's across town. That's not even like states away. I don't know what it would be. Like, if I had to move my stuff from here to Chicago, it'd probably be like $20,000.
I got to tell you, man, I don't know. I don't think even at this age I could stomach paying that.
No.
Even if I had millions and millions of dollars out of principle, I don't know that I could do that.
We got a really good deal. We got hooked up by a Marine buddy of mine, and we're only paying like $4,000, like, because he just wanted to hook me up because he knows me. But if it wasn't for that, I'd be doing a lot of it myself, of it. But I got lucky, so I don't really need to. But it's exciting. Catherine, whenever we're starting the show, I am so proud of you for sticking it out. I think, like, you're essentially doing things that are really hard and uncomfortable. Like, I don't think the listener really realizes sitting down for an hour in your position at this pregnant takes a lot of discipline and desire to do this show. And your mic went out again.
Oh, God.
Now you're,
you're good. You're good.
God damn it. My mic's falling off. Our pets' heads are falling off. I have a little heating pad. I'm sitting on this like cushioned butt thing. I like literally did like a yoga stretching before the episode started. So I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, we're knocking it down from 5 or 6 rounds of the magazine down to 4, just so Kate has to sit here less time until she's ready to go. Speaking of the rounds, let's get into round number 1. This one is from 11th Marine Regiment, and it is pissy, right, Kate?
It's a little bit pissy, and this first came across my radar because somebody tagged Terminal Lance in it, the person who received the piss. This popped up on my Twitter, actually, and it was from @FrostedFish, just this woman named Andy, and she said, "The Marine Corps sent me a box full of piss. I'm not even fucking kidding." And people are like, ?" Well, then she posts multiple packages with the biohazard stickers on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from Commanding Officer, 11th Marines Regiment, Camp Pendleton, California, ship 2. And it says her name and she blacked out her address. But they sent her a bunch of piss. So Todd South at the Marine Corps Times picked up on this story. The Marine Corps is now conducting a command investigation at 5th Battalion, 11th Marine Regiment. Those are cannon fellas, by the way, cannon cockers, they call them artillery, I guess.
Yep.
That are artillery. Anyway, to learn how 4 packages of drug test urine samples in a single box were mailed to a private resident in Arizona rather than a Navy testing center in Illinois.
I mean, that's a big change, right? Like, and imagine being, if you're a civilian and you've never dealt with the military, seeing 4 packages come to your house with biohazard stickers, you'd be like, because I think that even when you see a biohazard, if I saw that biohazard picture and you gave me 5 guesses, I'm not sure piss would be in my top 5 of what was mailed to me.
No, but I'd be worried just seeing the biohazard sticker because I don't know that I ever get anything that has that sticker. So I immediately would be alarmed. And to be multiple states off is wild. Maybe if you got a number a little wrong or added an extra digit, I understand that. But to be wrong state, wrong everything is wild.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And especially if you shake that box, you know when there's liquid in a box. But they cracked it open and they discovered it was indeed urine.
I wish they would go through each and every one of them. They have like a video of each and every one of the cups. They open it up. Oh, this one's pissed too.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. Like
you're going to look out and one of them's going to be apple juice.
Yeah. The big story here is that 11th Marine Regiment is really dehydrated. She's like, I've never seen darker piss than this. But the box had U.S. Postal Service address to the civilian recipient. It was like specifically mailed to them. Major Kendra Motz, 1st MARDIV Director of Comm Strategy and Operations, noted that the command was already aware of the shipping error and had been working to recover the packages. On Wednesday, she confirmed there was no evidence to suggest there are additional piss packages in circulation at this time, not her exact words. But by Thursday, the Marines recovered the packages. So they got their piss back.
Recovered, like it's a fucking drone in North Korea that went down. Like it's not like it's that like serious. I mean, imagine going to your next staff meeting and you're the company clerk, because it's got to be a company clerk level person who drops these off at the UPS store, like post office, and just hearing people like, what'd you do with the piss? What did you do with the piss? Because you know, if it's a Lance Corporal that's dropping it off, they're going to think that it's one of their buddies was going to pop and they did it on purpose.
That's what I was thinking, was that there has to be some kind of catch here. Somebody who, oh, I don't know how this happened, but either it was the sender themselves who was going to pop, or they had a friend who, and they, I don't know, but the Marine Corps got their piss back. I mean, how long does piss last? How long is piss testable? Because they might still be able to ship it up to Illinois.
No, I don't know. No, we were talking about it before. Once it leaves the proper chain of custody, that's no longer admissible in a court of law.
But they're going to try it because they're going to say it's still sealed. It still has that seal on it, the little red tape.
That's a good point. If you can prove that it hadn't been tampered with. But who's to say? I mean, now we're really getting out there.
This is what it's for. That's what this. We need to get out in the weeds about this piss
situation.
We do,
because I don't know. Maybe the person they sent it to, or they were trying to send it to, has additional red tamper-proof stickers and was replacing some of the urine samples.
Well, you got to put yours and the inspector, the dick watcher or the pussy watcher. They have to also initial on it too. So
yeah, but you know what? You've seen those initials. They're just like chicken scratch. Nobody has
but you can tell.
Duplicate
the samples are double sealed too. Not to brag, but I was a UPC when I was
don't
a sergeant.
You were a dick watcher. Don't try
to
give it.
No. I was not.
Try to church it up.
I was the guy who sat behind the table and told you when to put the sticker on the bottle and stuff like that.
God, yeah. How did you get that job? Is that when you were injured and you had a bad back?
No, it's when I was extremely useful to the Marine Corps still, and they still fucked me over with that.
That sucks, man.
It was terrible. But they double seal the samples, and the only one that can take it to the post office on base is a UPC or the SACO, because you have to sign the chain of custody letter with it. So it wasn't a clerk. Someone higher up. Really,
there's definitely some nefarious things going on here. Like I said, there wasn't just like one digit off and it randomly went to the wrong place. It went to a completely different state, a very specific name. There's something else going on here that we need to get to the bottom of.
I mean, do I have definitive proof? No. Is this a bad thing I'm about to say? Sure. But I'm going to take it as a fact that 11th Marine Regiment had a giant cocaine mess night.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole regiment was going to pop. And they're like, this was a team building event. Don't worry, I got you. And they sent it to someone in Arizona just for safekeeping for a couple days. I would say 11th Marine Regiment, funnest regiment in the Marine Corps now.
Yeah, but again, unless you absolutely completely then lose all this urine, the urine is still from the time period that they would have come up hot. So it's going to come up hot, whether it's 3 days later or a week later, so long as it's the same urine, right?
I don't know. All those cannons cocked for nothing. I'll also say this. I feel like I would volunteer if I was a guy to be the cock watcher. Because I feel like once you know what everybody in your unit's working with, you have a little bit of like, I don't know. Like, maybe that sergeant who intimidates you, maybe not so intimidating anymore once
you you're able to stomach it a little more.
You're able to, yeah, like, oh, you want to yell at me, shrimp dick? Okay. Yeah. That's probably harassment. Not great. That's
fun. No, I don't think so. I think that you can't make fun of somebody for being like ugly or fat or slow, but you can definitely, if you can't shame somebody for their dick size in the Marine Corps, just shut that motherfucker down.
Right. Well, so I also want to say one more thing. You know how I avoid numbers in math?
Mm-hmm.
I went above and beyond on this round.
You did. I see
there's
those
a
facts.
Lot going on
Katie
here.
Mathletes. This is when Kate said that she had a little bit of math going on. I was shocked.
So here we go. I've done a little Googling. The Department of Defense Laboratories tests 60,000 urine random samples every month. Every month. So all active duty members must undergo one urinalysis per year at least. And then if you're in the Guard or Reserves, once every 2 years at least, okay? Urine testing requires a minimum of 45 milliliters if you're in the DOD, 30 for civilians, but we need 45 for the troops. So I did a little math here. That's 60,000 troops every month for 12 months. That's 720.
How is this a thing? Like, we're not talking trillions. This
seriously,
is,
this is one comma.
And it's not even like a crazy number.
No, it's a pretty round number.
I'll say it's almost a million troops per
it's
year.
It's 720,000. That's the number very that simple. Kate's struggling with. 720,000.
Okay. So that's 720,000 troops per year getting piss tested, okay? Uh-huh.
Yep.
And 720,000 times 45 milliliters each. Mm-hmm. That's 32,400 million.
Yeah,
32,400. Yep,
the
that's
old 32,400 million
milliliters. Okay, so take that down to liters. That's 32,400 liters of piss. That's like 32,400 Pepsi bottles full of piss.
That's exactly what it's like, especially if those bottles are liter size.
Right, exactly. And guess what? I took it to gallons. That's 8,560 gallons of piss every year that we're testing. 8,560 gallons of piss we're testing every year. So hear me out. The average American uses 300 gallons of gasoline per year. If we can convert Department of Defense piss into fuel, because there's so much Rip It and other stuff in it explode and caffeine, we would have enough to keep the average American on the road for 28 and a half years with just 1 year's worth of DOD soldier pee.
Wow. So I just looked it up to give you a nice, because it's hard to imagine what
the fuck Kate just
what
said.
Really 850 or 8,500 gallons of piss looks like. So I made it a little bit easier.
Thank you.
That's 155 55 gallon drums.
Okay.
Like the big burn barrels, just 155 of those filled with piss.
Yeah, that's what we're testing every year. That's so much piss. And so DOD labs are equipped to test for marijuana, cocaine, amphetamines, LSD, opiates, including morphine and heroin, barbiturates, and PCP. But not all samples are tested for all of those drugs. However, marijuana, cocaine, amphetamines, like ecstasy, they always test for those. So unless they like have a reason to test you for LSD or something like that, you won't find it. And then I was looking for studies showing like how many troops do pop every year across the board and stuff like that. The most recent one I could find was from 2011. Across all branches, less than 1% of all tests were positive, 0.97%.
That's surprising.
I mean, that's still.
No, I don't think so. Because it is pretty, like, think about all the different ones that you've been with. It's more rare that somebody pops than doesn't pop. But you've done tons of tests where nobody popped. And then the one that somebody does, you're like, oh shit. And the ones that usually happen, it's right after they initially get into the service too. Like right after they're graduated from basic, something like that, they'll go home, they'll do a little coke, thinking it'll be out of their system. They come back and boom, they're popped. I had three guys that I went to MCT with, just went through all of the recruit training, did everything they're supposed to do for that 13 weeks, and then throw it away to get admin set for doing some cocaine. Stupid.
Oh yeah, you're right. All the guys that I knew that got kicked out, it was within our first year in the Marine Corps is when they all popped for the stuff. And then my buddy at at MOS school. Her last name was Stoner, and she popped for weed at the end of MOS school. It's like,
I think you gotta let her slide.
Yeah. You gotta let her slide. Weed accounts for 66% of all pops, and then the next highest was cocaine at 14%. And then this study was from 2011, and it had just started talking about, we're hearing about these things called bath salts and spice as new challenges for testing. And so I remember that back then when I was in.
Spice is a big deal. People were like going nuts in the barracks.
People were going nuts, and the bath salts too. They were getting them like behind the 7-Eleven out in Oceanside, and then bad shit.
Yeah, but people stopped with the bath salt once that one dude went like zombie crazy and started eating somebody's face in Florida. Yeah. I think that people were like, okay, let's chill.
Maybe
out
let's
on
chill on the bath salts.
I'm going to sound like a total square. I have experimented with a wide array of drugs in my lifetime, both before and after the military.
How is that making you sound like a square?
Well, it's pretty cool. But when I was in,
I don't want to seem like a nerd or nothing, but I've done probably kilos of cocaine.
Oh, tons.
I don't want to seem like a nerd, but I've broken a ton of laws.
Oh my God, absolutely. But when I was in, I took that so seriously. I never touched a thing, and I still I just don't get, you signed this oath, you knew that was part of it. Like, don't fucking do it. Like, I don't know. I took it really seriously when I was
Did you all feel every time you took your analysis, knowing full well that you've done nothing wrong, there was a small part of you that was always scared that something was going to happen though still?
I didn't have that one for the urinalysis, but I do remember that feeling when I was in high school. I knew that I had probably seen weed like 3 or 4 times. And every time the drug dog, I was like, well, what if somebody knew they were coming and like slipped it into my backpack? Mm-hmm. Like, I was always like super nervous when the dogs would come through.
Yeah.
I had one where one summer my dad was like, why don't you work for me in the building that I work for? So like not working for his company, but for the building facilities, was hiring somebody to like take a fish scooper and get people's badges out of the toilets and hand out mail and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah. Sounds fun. I was like, yeah, sure. I can go to, like, you can be my ride to work every day. And I didn't realize that it was you had to get drug tested. And I was hitting some doinks not too long before that. And I was like, oh my God, my dad, like, this is going to be so embarrassing for him because he's putting himself out there to help me get this job. And but I didn't. It was like a miracle. Cause it was like, yeah, I don't know. Cool.
So what was one of the main side effects for you whenever you were doing a little cocaine?
Oh man, where do I begin?
Staying up.
I mean, staying up.
If you want to stay up, you don't need to do cocaine. You can go with our friends at Black Rifle Coffee Company.
Oh, I'm such a piece of shit.
They are a veteran-owned coffee company that's serving premium coffee to people who love America. Their CEO and founder, Evan Heifer, was a part of Special Forces and a CIA contractor. They've been giving, last year, they gave away 6 million cups of coffee to those that are deployed, which is an incredible amount. I mean, we just went over what 8,400 gallons looks like. 60 million cups would be a shit ton of coffee. That's a lot of coffee. Yes. They import their coffee from high quality coffee beans from all over the world and roast 5 days a week at their facility in Manchester, Tennessee, and in Salt Lake City, Utah. The team at Black Rifle is continually researching and experimenting with new roasting methods and coffee origin. The best way to enjoy Black Rifle coffee is by joining the club. You pick your perfect roast, how much, and when you want it delivered to your door. They take care of the rest, and it's free to sign up, and you get free shipping, discounts with our partner brands, and easy access to new products and club exclusive products. Go to blackrifle.coffee.com/zero. Use the code zero today. Get the freshest coffee in America shipped to you. All right, let's move on to round number two. We're going to do a little... No, I'm not going to say Hitler goofing.
No,
we don't goof about Mr. Hitler there. And I even shouldn't call him Mr. He doesn't deserve that either.
No, duty head Hitler.
Yeah. So this article comes to us from Haley Britsky from Task and Purpose. And I had never seen it. So this picture comes out of him. It looks a little bit like Ed Helms, right?
Like, yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
A touch of Ed Helms, who is trying to change his appearance just slightly for a role where he plays a sailor in World War II. But that's this guy's name is not Adolf. It's William Patrick Willie Hitler, born of Alois.
Hitler.
Alois Hitler Jr., Adolf Hitler's half-brother, and he was born in Liverpool, England in 1911 in a house that was, ironically, later destroyed in a German air raid. According to the Lyon Air Museum, California this Hitler left, or the Hitler brother left his wife and son in England and moved back to Germany, where he started a new family. The Irish Post reports that he was illegally remarried in Germany and later charged with bigamy after he failed the attempt to fake his own death. Can I tell you guys something?
Yeah.
I was doing my closing today, and they have a clause in the closing now in Texas where you have to essentially swear that you're not a polygamist.
Why?
You know, like, it comes in there and it's like, you don't have, outside of your marriage, you don't have any other civil partnerships or domestic partnerships. It's like, how the fuck is that any of your business?
Why is that relevant to buying a house?
Because they want to make sure that all the income is like taken care of and everybody's credit report. But I don't understand how the government has anything to play in how many people you can marry. Who cares? As long as you're not coercing folks and they're doing it on their own accord, may a thousand blossoms bloom, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it did not work out well for us. So again, Hitler, Adolf Hitler's half-brother, Alois Hitler, has this son, Willy. And then he
did- I thought Alois was a girl's name.
Yeah, well, I'm probably saying it wrong, but Alois has this wife and son in England, and then he's like, peace out, I'm getting the fuck out of here, moves back to Germany and tries to start a new family. Well, then, like you said, he gets charged with bigamy and then tried to fake his own death. So this is Hitler's half-brother. So the family already pretty fucked, like, giving you an idea. Yeah,
they're not great. They're not starting off with any advantages here.
No, but, they're not.
But he then gets tied in. Willie then, once he turns 18, is like, hey, Dad, no big deal. Don't mind that you tried to run out on us and start a new family and fake your own death because you hated us so much. And his dad's like, cool, why don't you come over to Germany and meet Uncle Adolf and come to a couple rallies with me? So Willy goes, and Willy does not get along with Uncle Hitler very well. They don't hit it off. So he even started publishing articles in Germany about Uncle Adolf Hitler, who didn't like the way the articles portrayed him. He demanded his nephew Willy retract them, but the damage had been done. And now, with his relationship to Adolf Hitler public, he got fired from his job in England. Everybody's like, sorry, we don't want the nephew of Hitler working at our bank or wherever the fuck you work.
I think that you couldn't do that now, right? Like, HR wouldn't let you do that just because of who your uncle was. You couldn't get fired.
Yeah. So now he's fired from his job in England. His uncle, Adolf Hitler, not a big fan of him. And his dad, Alois, the guy who faked his death and tried to get away from him in the first place, is like, Willy, go back to England. So Willy goes back to England, and at this point, Uncle Adolf Hitler is the Chancellor of Germany at this point. Willy then, though, balls of steel, starts to blackmail Adolf Hitler, his uncle, by threatening to release family secrets to the press in order to undermine him. So you think the British royal family is just spilling tea right now. This is the Hitler's had even. Anyway, Adolf eventually offered to give Willy a position of great power, but on one condition: he had to give up his British citizenship, to which Willy said, no, I ain't going to do it. No.
I can't take this story seriously. How can Hitler have a fucking nephew named Willy? Willy?
Like, Willy Hitler.
Family's like, Alanis, what is the name?
Alois,
yeah. Fucking Adolf, and then we got goddamn Willy and Chuck. Like, Willy, those are the Hitler. Other two kids?
Yeah, Willy and Doug Hitler. So Willy goes back to England now because he's like, won't give up his British citizenship, even though Adolf's like, I'll give you a sweet job. He's like, fuck you, I'm out. So he goes back to England and tries to join the British armed forces to fight his uncle. But Britain's like, hey, sorry, we don't want Willy Hitler in the ranks. Probably not great for you either, pal, if you walk around with your little Hitler name tape. So in 1939.
Oh, yeah. Talk about imagine, getting haze.
Yeah, I was going to say, imagine the haze, especially back in the 40s when there were no rules.
Yeah. When you're like, all right, let's mark our trousers. What's your name? You motherfucker.
Yeah. It's like having Bin Laden's last name in 2002 and going to Paris Island. Probably not going to work out well for you. Mm-mm. So in 1939, Willy and his mom are like, this is not going well for us. Let's head over to the U.S. They do. Willy enlists in the U.S. Navy. First, he's rejected, but he writes a letter to FDR and gets cleared by the FBI. So, dear FDR, I promise I hate my lame old uncle so much. Like, I hate him. He's such a square, dude. It's pretty much how that letter went, I think.
And when I go to his house, he tries to tell me what to do. he's not my real dad.
He's not my real, Adolf Hitler's not my real dad. My real dad's Alois Hitler. So anyway, he's sworn in March 6, 1944, served 3 years as a pharmacist mate receiving a Purple Heart, and was discharged in 1947.
Damn, I didn't realize the pharmacist aides were in the shit. That's pretty impressive.
I read
like everybody was.
I mean, a pharmacist aide, though. You wouldn't expect that.
I don't know. You never know. Well, he changed his last name after World War II.
So probably smart.
He kept the last name Hitler, I guess, in World War II. What? Anyway, he changed his last name to Stuart Houston, moved to Long Island, and had 4 sons. He ran a blood lab out of his home, and his neighbors knew. I wouldn't want to go to
Hitler's blood lab. As Patty.
But where did Patty from?
He went from fucking Willie to Patty.
Patty Stuart Houston of Long Island. Okay. So a neighbor who lived next door told the New York Times that he was very private, wasn't all that friendly, would never tell you anything personal.
And her name is Marilyn Banana Sack. And when I'm not talking about the lady with the banana who uses her vulvas as a banana sack in Okinawa.
Right. No, different one. Mm-hmm. But another neighbor, Teresa Reither, said Willie's 4 sons, Alexander, Lewis, Howard, and Brian, were like any other kids on the block. Willie, a.k.a. Patty Stuart Houston, they were like the all-American family. And but some neighbors said they did start to like gossip, like, man, that guy looks like Hitler. Nobody wants that. My father used to say to my mother, doesn't Patty look a lot like Adolf Hitler? Once my father told my mom, I just saw Patty mowing the lawn, and he turned around real quick, and my God, he looked just like Hitler. Willie died at 76 years old. He's buried alongside his mom in a Catholic graveyard in New York, where the graves are marked Stuart Houston, no reference to Hitler among them.
Gosh. A good troll, I think, every day would have like a little post-it note and be like, this is actually Hitler's nephew. And just put it on the gravestone every single day.
What are you thinking?
Well, why would you do that to him? He served the U.S. and he like hated it.
That's true.
Like,
I just don't like the fact that he changed his name from Willie to Patty.
Yeah. I don't know. What are you thinking, though, if you're one of those 4 sons and you find out your great uncle is old Adolf?
Not great.
Not a fun feeling.
That's not a fun thing for show and tell in fourth grade.
No. Yeah, it's always like whenever. That's why people who do that ancestry.com, that's a slippery slope to go down. There's a lot of stuff that I probably don't want to know about, like with my old ancestors.
Also,
I don't want to know about that shit.
With the ancestry.com, the 23andMe, I think I've said it on the show before, but I think that is one of the biggest scams going. Just because I spit in a tube and I send it out, you could come back and tell me I'm, you know, this percentage that and this percentage that, and how am I going to refute any of that? I think it's just a huge money scam.
And we actually did that in my anthropology class. We did a study on this where they send out, it was based on, I think, 23andMe or one of the other ones where they do like the DNA test. Mm-hmm. And they took a bunch of random ones, didn't tell the testers where they are from. And they were wildly off. Like there was a white dude and it said that like 75% of his ancestry was from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. It's like, no. It wasn't like that's not where his family's from. And then there was another dude who lived in India. That was where they got it from. And they said most of his family originated in Europe. Like, no,
that's what I'm talking about.
I just took a DNA test. Turns out I'm 100% that bitch. Even when I'm crying crazy. Yeah, I got boy problems. That's a huge.
I got to say something about Lizzo and Kate. Kate was on Lizzo way before so many people were on Lizzo.
Thank you. Like 5 years ago.
Yeah, you've been on Lizzo for a long time.
I would just like it on the record that I'm still not on her because I don't think her music is worth a damn.
Oh, I love her music. I love it.
Hey, that's fine. That's fine. Even her deep cuts.
Square.
That's disappointing. We also, the Chaps and Kate show, very first players of the DaBaby. Now the DaBaby's huge.
You were big on DaBaby before DaBaby. Yes, that's true.
Exactly right. All right, let's move on to round number 3. We're going to do a little mosquito goofing because for the past several years, mosquito control crews have used small planes to spray pesticides over vast stretches of wetlands near Salt Lake City Airport. Stagnant swamps from mountain runoff are an ideal breeding habitat for the pesky bloodsuckers that spread disease and annoy people, and the cost of controlling them runs into the hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. But officials have come across an outfit that will do the job for free. That's right. It's the U.S. Air Force. The military is happy to perform the spraying as a way to train pilots as they fine-tune their skills for flying close to the ground. See, it's always shocking to find a story where there it's actually a good idea. Like it's going to save people money.
Whoa,
like
it's going to save taxpayers money and provide training at the same time. Holy shit. Wow.
Yep.
That sounds way too efficient.
The article goes on to say, if all goes to plan, the Air Force will deploy a C-130, a large four-engine turboprop transport that often is seen rolling down the strip because K-9 daddy has got to take a little trip. And in September to wage chemical warfare on the swarms of mosquito species that proliferate there.
First of all, I'm going to cut you off really quick. Stay tuned in September for people on the outskirts of Salt Lake City going, I'm seeing a bunch of C-130s flying awful close to the city. Mm-hmm. Seeing a lot of military planes swooping down around here spraying chem.
And they're probably using military-grade mosquito repellent, too. Oh, I'm interested to see how many of the frogs in the area actually turned up gay.
Turn gay, right. Absolutely. It's going to be... Put your tinfoil hats on if you live out that way.
It'll be the gayest frogs you've ever seen. We're really saving the taxpayer a lot of money. The district executive director said these are applications that we would be conducting regardless. And I think that kind of story is what happened with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman when they were saying it's a waste. Mm-hmm. A lot of these flyovers, they just kind of incorporate it with their normal training schedule. So it doesn't really cost a whole lot.
The pilots have to get hours, X amount of hours every month and year. So they got to do it somehow. Well, might as well just work in a Super Bowl while we're at it.
And they do good when they do like a flyover at a Browns game. They try and spray deodorant and stuff like that. They try and
when they do it in Philly, they drop batteries.
Right.
Yeah.
They try and make it helpful for everyone.
It's really something. The C-130 is based in Youngstown Air Reserve Station in Ohio, a part of the 910th, right?
Sure.
What? How do they like? See, I don't understand why they do that. The 910th Air Wing. Where's the other 909?
Gives the illusion of a much bigger air wing, right?
I don't like that. I don't like that they use. They're liars. Essentially, the unit is already deployed to Utah once or twice a year. We need to get into this. I cannot abide anymore. I've read it over and over again. The other branches of service, grow the fuck up. You call everything a deployment. Everything is not a deployment. You're TDY. Like, oh, we're doing a deployment in DC. That's not a deployment. I'm appreciative for what you're doing. You're doing what you're called. You're not deployed. You're not deployed when you go to fucking Europe. You're not unless it was World War II and your uncle was Adolf Hitler. Mm-hmm, then it kind of counts. Mm-hmm. But other than that, currently going to Europe, not a deployment. I know a dude that was like, he was involved with drones. He said, I'm going on a deployment. Oh, where are you going? Georgia, country of? No, outside of Atlanta. Fuck you. That's not a deployment.
That's a mini vacation.
TDY.
By the letter of the word, yeah, we use TDY in the Army. So the only time I ever heard deployment was to a combat area. So
I'm going titty, we would say.
I'm deploying. Oh, wow. Where are you going? Paris. Shut up. You're not deploying to Paris. You fucking nerd. So
that's pretty strong too. Just when you're saying to deploy and you're not even leaving CONUS. That's a really ridiculous statement.
Right. I mean, I waffle back and forth from the one on the border. Now that shots has actually been fired, I think that should probably be the barometer. If where you're at, shots are fired, you can count it as a deployment.
I think if at any point you're pooping in a bag.
No.
Oh.
Because that's just camping in the smoke.
I mean, I did that at Fort Hood.
That could happen anywhere. That happened to me on the I-5 in San Diego, you know.
And you don't think about places like Utah and Alaska being havens for mosquitoes. You'd be very mistaken. Those mosquitoes in those northern parts are vicious.
Oh,
have you ever seen the ones that are in Siberia now that all that the tundra is the permafrost is like thawing out? These mosquitoes are like bats. They're enormous.
I have an uncle who like travels to hunt, and he said one of the hardest part isn't like scaling the mountains, but it's the mosquitoes in Alaska, like just trying to be still and be calm when you're trying to like with all the fucking fuck it.
And one of the stoolies that is from Alaska reached out to me, and because I didn't know it was a thing, and we were going to go to Alaska in July and stay by this lake, and she was like, make sure you bring like 15 bottles of mosquito spray because they're everywhere. And I was like, ha ha ha. And I looked it up. I was like, oh my god.
No, she's serious.
I showed Annalise. She was like, I'm not sure I want to go there, because if you're taking in all the beautiful sights, it's ruined if you have mosquitoes all over you. You know, Kate, from your experience with the wild horse farm.
Oh my God, my entire body, my vagina, everything, every crevice of my body.
Ugh, there's nothing worse than getting mosquito bites. A bunch of them, you're just so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For those who don't know, my mistake was in college, me and my buddies went to Assateague Island with no plan. And so we just
slept. Where's that?
It's that island with horses. It's all the horses. There's no buildings on it. It's in Maryland. It's in the swamps of Maryland, and there's no buildings. So you bring tents and stuff, but we didn't. We just, Ocean City was full. So we drove down to Assateague and just parked in a camping spot. And then we proceeded to get hammered, and I passed out drunk by the campfire. And so I didn't feel as thousands of mosquitoes swarmed my body overnight and got inside my clothes.
That sounds miserable, but also another Katie fact there, like most people, if they're going somewhere, they plan ahead and they think like, oh, let's get a hotel or an Airbnb at this point. You're like, yeah, no, there's nowhere to stay. We'll just go camp. I don't feel like most people, if they're going camping, that's the plan. Most people don't do camp as their backup. If they can't stay somewhere, they just won't go.
I also tried to go skinny dipping that night and would round up running through brambles with no protection on my body, and then heard the clippy clop of horse hooves on the, I'll never go back.
Yeah. You don't want that whenever you don't have any protection, but you can use it. If you have a partner that you've been with for a while, you can use Roman swipes, which are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed or in the woods. They're effective, they're easy to use, they're fast acting, and they don't require a prescription. Roman can send you swipes discreetly, and you can even throw it in your overnight bag if you're heading out to the wilderness. The swipes are small enough to hide in your wallet for wherever you need it. You can have your waterproof matches, you can have a glow stick, and you can have your Roman swipes. If you got those three things, you got everything. They're super easy to use. Just take them motherfuckers straight out in front like you would whenever you're holding a piece of paper to break you off. Swipe it on, let it try, you're good to go. That's it. Go to getroman.com/zero. You get your first month for free of swipes for $5 when you choose the monthly plan. Go to getroman.com/zero. Eventually Roman is going to be like the Amazon of healthcare. They have like the boner pills, they have the boner wipes, they have hair stuff, they have everything, skin. That's eventually just going all the specialty clinics that you are going to go see your general practitioner, and then you're going to go see getroman.com.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's the next wave, my friend.
All right, let's move on to round number four. We're going to get into a little bit of military Snapple cap facts. Where did this come from, Kate?
Yeah.
It came from my brain when I was in the shower the other night, and it hit me so hard. I was like, oh my God, this is such a good idea, that I actually hopped out of the shower real quick without breaking my elbow and grabbed my phone and tweeted this out. This is a real spicy Kate episode. I was butt-ass naked when I tweeted this out from the account. It said, so Zero Blog 30, what's your favorite Snapple cap type facts about the U.S. military? Because I love people who are like Jeopardy people who are just full of random little nuggets of knowledge and factoids. Like, Chaps, you're kind of like that. Large is like that here at Barca. Like, people who just...
You're like that. Bird facts and shit.
Bird facts, the city. If you're going around the city with me, I'm going to be pointing things out and being like, did you know this building in 1932? Like, I just love, I call them Snapple cap facts, but just little pop-up facts. So I asked, what's your favorite Snapple
Wait. Before we get into that, I have a game I want to play.
Yeah.
All right, we're speaking of Jeopardy. So, you know, in Jeopardy, whenever they have the three contestants and Alex, RIP, would come out and they have their three little stories off the top of your head, no preparation at all. What's your 15-second story that you have? Cons, we'll start with you.
That when I was transitioning out of the military into civilian life, I did a quick detour into the world of Hollywood as I was in Gotham City police officer in The Dark Knight Rises. And I got to work with Christopher Nolan. Alex would like that one. Yeah, I got to work with, now I can say I worked with Christopher Nolan, Anne Hathaway, Christian Bale, and Tom Hardy. No big deal.
Ha 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 ha. And we got Kyle here from North Carolina. Kyle, what about you?
I'm here. I'm just fucking around. So how I got involved with you guys is I started a parody account making fun of the code. And here I am today.
So parody Twitter account.
That's a good one, Kate.
Just fuck around.
That makes two people at who Chaps also was a parody account, got his start there. Mm-hmm. Mine, I was part of the Daily Show, had a program for veterans. And on the very first day, we got to go in the writer's room and I picked a seat, just any old seat, because I was nervous. And it turns out Jon Stewart came in the room and that was his seat that he always sat in, that I had sat in. So he let me sit there. He let me stay there and took a different seat. But I was very nervous.
That's a good one too. Mine would be in the 2008 presidential election campaign, I got to stand backstage while Mitt Romney and Barack Obama were doing their debate. Barack Obama, then Senator Obama, came up and saw my big dog named Santo. And he said, "Does that dog bite?" I said, "Sir, that's specifically what he does." And Barack Obama
walked in. That's a hard O.
Oh, Chaps was a very big hard O before we met him. Absolutely.
I mean, still kind of am. I try to hide it a little bit, but I'm very conceited. All right, Kate, let's go through the military Snapple Cap facts.
Yeah, these are what our listeners, our beautiful, wonderful listeners, except for this first guy, replied with their Snapple Cap facts. Son of a gun, aka our guy Kyle, said Pogues are people too.
That's not true.
That's not true.
I felt bad.
I'm not a person. Former ZBT guest / partial host Max Walsh said 31 American presidents have served in the military and Theodore Roosevelt is the only president to be awarded the Medal of Honor. How did I not know that he had a Medal of Honor?
I didn't know Teddy had a fucking Medal of Honor either.
San Juan Hill.
What? Oh, but that's when the Medal of Honor, it was either you're getting the Medal of Honor or the Purple Heart, essentially.
Right. Yeah.
I will also say I did not fact check any of these because half the time I read a Snapple Cap, I'm not sure if it's true or false. Are they all true? I don't know.
No, I think we're just going to operate on the assumption that these are all factually accurate. I think that's the way that we should do. And I also saw that the National Guard officially authorized a legit campaign medal for those that are in D.C. right now.
It's a red, white, and blue. It's a beaut. I'll tell you that much.
It's a nice looking ribbon.
It's a good looking ribbon.
How do we feel about it, though, given our stance on calling things a deployment?
It's tough, man. It's tough. I think that is a hard job because it's so politically charged in your own country where people have feelings on it one way or the other. So that's a tough spot to be in. I'm for it because I think for the most part, what's the harm in recognizing somebody that they did something? And it's I don't know. The other day, I thought this would never happen when I was in the Marine Corps. I thought it would never happen where I could look at any medal or ribbon on the entire DoD chart and not know what it is instantly. The other day, somebody asked me what something was, and I was like, I'm not sure. And it hurt so bad.
Stolen Valor Chaps. I would have known.
You would have known. It was a Vietnam ribbon, so that's probably why I didn't know. But
if this DC deployment ribbon has a little piece of metal in the middle, you were with the National Guard that ate the bad food.
That's exactly right.
Twisty piece of metal. Ryan Noel Snapple Cap Buzzkill Tito Taylor?
Teetotaler.
Teetotaler.
Oh, whoa. Buzzkill Teetotaler, Secretary of the Navy Joseph Bezos.
Josephus.
My God. Anyway, this nerd back in 1914 banned alcohol on U.S. Navy ships and naval yard stations. So the last drinks were consumed July 1st, 1914 on ships.
Oh, man, they did it right before the 96 on the 4th of July. That's bullshit.
Brutal. I know.
Absolutely. Dalton Allen said Humvees, helos, and tanks all use the same fuel, which is?
JP-8.
JP-8, my friends.
Also, the bongo vans in Okinawa use JP-8.
Oh, yeah. Once Upon a Boot podcast, not that we're supporting other military podcasts, but check out the Once Upon a Boot podcast. Sounds cute as button.
It does.
I like it. That the Navy was disbanded following the Revolutionary War and reestablished to deal with pirates.
Mm-hmm. The Marine Corps was part of that as well.
Whoa.
Off the Barbary Coast.
Mm-hmm. Bill Ferguson said the Army has more boats than the Navy. Somebody said that's not true.
That can't be true.
I'll never Google it. I'll never guess.
I won't either.
No.
Maybe
I'm going to take his word for it.
He could be counting, because the Army probably has more bases. He could be counting leisure kayaks at the rec centers. So we don't know what kind of boats he's talking.
Good point, Kate.
Dave said the last year cigarettes were included in Milrats was 1975. So the last time you could crack open an MRE and get a cig inside, 75. And then I loved this. Mike Goodman replied, when I joined in the late 80s, the equipment we used actually had ashtrays built into them. The building I worked in had just gone non-smoking a year or two prior. So up until the 80s, you could still like smoke inside at work.
And people went and did that like way after. My dad was in the Navy and he worked in a hangar where they like he was an E3 or he was a P3 flight engineer. So they were constantly in there like fixing up the planes and doing stuff. That place reeked of cigarettes. Yeah. I just absolutely reeked of it. And that makes me think of one of my a scene from The West Wing that absolutely blew my mind, because one of the characters is talking to a Navy officer and she's like, the Navy wastes so much money on different things. She's like, I was going through a line of appropriation and one of them was a $4,000 ashtray. Why do you need a $4,000 ashtray? And then he breaks it out. He's like, okay, this is a normal ashtray, right? Takes a hammer, hits it, and it shatters. And he's like, this ashtray that's $4,000 is to be used on submarines. It's in case it breaches, it hits the side of the wall and it always breaks into three even, not sharp points. That's the reason why we have $4,000 ashtrays. And it should have been like, just stop smoking underwater.
Yeah. Maybe just don't.
Probably just a lot cheaper. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't smoke on here, you fucks. Like, we're in a big old iron tube.
I do say I'm sad I missed the big smoking indoors days. I feel like now I have to go to like Nashville to enjoy such a thing.
Oh, yeah. But when you find one of those, I don't even smoke. Oh. And when you find one that's like a dive bar, it is just so delightful. Cigs inside just slaps differently.
Absolutely. Honestly, I will always, no matter what, if I have the opportunity to be in a place where I can smoke inside, I'm doing it, even though I've quit.
No, I think you should do it while you're holding your baby.
You should see my family down the Jersey Shore. That doesn't stop anyone. Anyways, Craig Popovich said less than 5% of airmen fly airplanes. Oh.
I would have thought it was even less than that, honestly.
Yeah. And the Air Force stinks.
Disaster Dude Vermont said the U.S. Navy is the second largest air force in the world.
Whoa.
That checks out. Yeah.
This one is depressing. Matt Fogarty, too, said, if you made $20,445.
Let me just say, you nailed that, Kate.
Thank you. If you made $20,445 an hour, every hour since the birth of Christ, you would have one single year's DOD budget by the year 4000.
No.
That's tough to swallow.
Insane.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because spoiler alert, Jesus was like 2000 years ago.
He was old. He's like so old, dude. He's so old.
This next one I think is my favorite that I saw.
Go ahead, Cons.
The usable cargo area of a C-5 is longer than the Wright brothers' flight at Kitty Hawk.
That's a great Snapple Cap fact.
That's a great one.
Because I don't think anyone really thinks about how far they actually were in the air. They just know that it happened at Kitty Hawk in 1903, and they're happy to know that. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Honey Bear 4191, the Navy owns an entire forest just to maintain the USS Constitution.
I don't understand that. What does that mean?
I don't understand it either, but I'm reading it like it's fact.
They need the timber for it to do restorations. It's a very special sort of wood.
Got it. Thank you. To our wood specialist, Kyle.
Yeah, I thought they came climbing out of the woods to fix the boat every now and then and went back in.
Just tree people, like Oompa Loompas, but for the Constitution.
Final one, the John Flaherty says the U.S. military is the second largest employer in the world. I don't know. What about like Amazon and things that are bigger than the U.S. and like around the world?
I don't know. There's a lot. I mean, there's over 1 million active duty people right now. That's a lot.
Maybe he means the U.S. government in general. I don't know. But I'm taking it as fact. Anyway, that's it. Those are the Snapple Cap facts. Feel free to pop them out.
Do you guys have any off the top of your head?
And I would put, for my job, you can't be a dog handler without a pancreas.
Why?
Because it has like some filter in it and the dogs can smell it. And they don't also, if you have trouble with your pancreas, then you have difficulty with certain types of bacteria. And if you get bitten by a dog, that's one of the most common bacteria. So you can get a really bad infection. It's actually the very first question that we ask on a canine board when somebody comes in trying to be canine. And we would say like, do you have a pancreas? If they say no, get the fuck out.
Interesting. Oh, I like that one.
Mm-hmm. What about, do they let people with strep butthole be dog handlers?
Yeah, we got to get into that a little bit. That closes out rounds, but we do need to talk about a sad fact that Kate has anal strep throat, which is just absolutely outrageous.
Banana lands, dude. Anyway.
You didn't want to expound on that? You just wanted...
Well, that's all I talked about on the show. They swabbed. I went to my like 36 week of baby appointment or 37 week, and I didn't know it was coming. They swabbed.
And I know that I shouldn't, but the military ruined me for that picture in my mind. Because you said swab my anus. I keep thinking somebody grabbed a mop and is just like, there's like some tiny person like cleaning it up before you go have the baby.
There's a little dude spinning on it with a floor waxer.
It's that guy from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And he's, instead of getting into the big spoon with a Cheerio on it, he's...
Anyway, so I didn't know they were going to swab my asshole. And I was like, whoa, what do you do this for? And my doctor was like, we swab every single woman who's going to have a baby soon. It's called strep B. And I just assume the B means butthole. Mm-hmm. But it's a strain. It's in 30% of women just have it as part of our like intestinal. Like, you know how we all have like.
Do you have to give your butt a cough drop?
Well, so listen to this. As soon because I popped positive for, I'm calling it strep butthole. By the way, I Googled, it's not, this is shocking. It's not an STD. It's not sexually transmitted. Cause I was like, oh, well, I probably got this at college, but I didn't.
It man.
Nobody knows where it comes from.
What are we doing?
Wait, why are we even talking about this?
It doesn't. Nobody knows where it comes from. Literally, scientists don't know, but like 30% of women have it. So when my water breaks, this makes me feel like such a dirtball. When my water breaks, normally a lot of women can labor at home for a while. I can't. I have to go in and start getting antibiotics like right away because I have strep butthole. Gross, dude. Anyway.
That stinks.
All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Kyle, we'll start with you.
Yikes. So it kind of leads up into Kate's save round here. I won't give too much, but...
Kyle also has strep butthole.
Yes, yeah.
The whole squad does.
All of us. Came down with strep butthole.
We're strep butthole allies.
That's actually what that package was going for 11th Marines. They weren't looking for drug tests. It's just a bunch of butthole tests for strep throat. There's a huge outbreak in the military community.
Yep. Anyways, so... all the academies are kind of going under sort of a lockdown thing. And, you know, part of me is like, good, fuck you guys, you know, get it. You know, you're going to make life miserable for someone later on. They keep DMing us saying, oh, we're having to endure this. I'm like, good, fuck you. But, you know, the other part of me is like, yeah, that sucks. So if you're one of the folks in the academies, you know, keep your chin up. It seems like it's never going to end, and then it will. And then all you'll have is kind of a cool story in a few years. So don't let it get the best of you. You know, don't be a pussy. Yeah, basically.
Keep your heads up. It is tough to be isolated. That's
watch,
for damn sure.
Watch us on Zero Block 30 YouTube, and it'll make you feel better. And if it doesn't, you get your money back. I guarantee it. So
what about you, Kate?
Well, mine ties in with that. I think a few of us got DMs from a fella saying that he loves the show and wanted to give a shout out to SEAL Commander Ledford. He is a permanent military professor at the Naval Academy. There has been a large outbreak of COVID on campus, resulting in a complete lockdown. No liberty, 2 hours of outside time per day, not allowed to leave your room except to use the bathroom and pick up meals, the gym, laundry, it's all closed.
Dementors all over the place. They're eating
Dementors. It's been a tough time. And I believe, especially when you're that age, that is really hard. And when you see like all your other friends at other colleges living totally different lives than you, and you're like, oh my God, what am I like?
I guess maybe that's the only saving grace is that every other college, it's not like normal. I guess there are some schools in the country who are just doing their own thing, but if ever there was a year to be missing out on normal college, you're not missing that much, I guess, is maybe the way to look at it and bright side some things.
But when this first happened, look at what happened at the Air Force Academy and like what they lost people. I mean, like, it was really, really hard times for them, especially where some of these academies are located. They're isolated there. So Commander Ledford has gone out of his way to improve morale while senior leadership has turned a blind eye. Every night, he has an awesome lineup of speakers from 1800 to 01, including high-ranking members of the Navy and Marine Corps, his personal friends like Jocko Willink, who we've had on the show, Marcus Luttrell. He often stays on these Google Meet calls past 01 just to talk to mids and try to help people through a tough time and impart some wisdom. He's the man and deserves some recognition. So he's sticking with them all every night. Shout out SEAL Commander Ledford. That's fucking badass. That's awesome. And it's really key to have leadership like that. That'll probably stick with that. That's a lesson that'll probably stick with these future naval leaders for forever. No doubt. So, yeah.
Yeah. You get
an example.
Right. You go through so many courses and the leadership thing is taught every which way, but then you see things like this and very much these are the types of things that are much easier to stick with you. You might not remember that one class you took sophomore year, but you'll remember this guy and how he led from the front.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I feel like you can't teach leadership. You can teach management. The military gets it wrong from the start. You're either a good leader or you're not. You can be a terrible leader, but a good manager. Mm-hmm. That's one of my pet peeves about the military is that they can teach you leadership. They can't. They never
No, they can fine tune those skills if you have them. But if you don't have them, you can't make something out of nothing.
Exactly.
Anything else, Kate?
No, that's it. That's it for me. Again, strep butthole's not an STD.
You didn't have the baby yet.
No, didn't have the baby yet, but I do have strep butthole.
Yeah, strip that hole. Cons?
I was on the dog walk, the draft. We did Irish stuff for St. Patrick's Day that's coming up. That was a fun one that I got to do. So check that out over on the dog walk. And then also today, I played in the inaugural Pink Whitney Cup, which was a hybrid winter classic, barstool,
I don't know.
It was
hockey.
A hockey tournament. Let me just tell you. So I've ice skated probably since I was little, but I never played ice hockey in any sort of organized fashion. I've maybe two times in my life picked up an ice hockey stick and shot a puck a few times. Nothing at all that resembles any sort of organization. Hockey is so freaking hard. Those guys, I always had a great deal of respect for hockey players because I knew – you know, it's one thing to play a sport. And then if you play a sport on ice, that just makes things harder. And they all make it look so easy the way they skate and the way they're able to control their bodies. And it's really, really impressive. Like Biz wasn't playing today, but he was doing some things on the ice in between one of the games. It was very impressive. There were a bunch of female hockey players, professionals, Olympians. They were outrageous. The way they were able to skate was unbelievable. They were so good. Our other colleague, Rudy, he was the MVP. Oh, probably shouldn't say that. He had a really good day. But anyway, gosh, hockey. Very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. But great time.
All right. Mine is I want to give a special shout out to my wife. She finished her doctoral program today. Like she is officially Dr. Catherine today.
On International Women's Day, no less.
On International Women's Day, on the day that we closed on our house, to be a working mother since the time she was 22 years old, to have a master's degree at 22, to go out to be leading her own nonprofit that she's the executive director of by the time she's 35 with now a doctoral degree too. Like she is an unbelievably accomplished person and I'm very, very lucky to have her as my partner. I only hope that everybody finds theirs. And if you are one of those young junior troops who got divorced and you think that life is never going to get better for you, just look at me as an example. Like my first divorce was definitely the best thing that ever happened to me because it led me to Annalise and led me to this life. And I'm very proud of her for what she's accomplished. Sound the retreat. Sure.